Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and welcome to the show, and we're broadcasting out of Washington, D.C. Again, this is the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. Again, this evening, we're going to be welcoming our guest, and our guest this evening will, no, I'm sorry, we don't have a guest this evening. We have open mic. So we welcome you to our open mic. Open mic means that if you have a business or if you have a business idea on our open mic, we will be certainly interested in hearing from you. So again, welcome to the show. I am your host, and I'll be bringing on our co-host here in just a second. Again, this is Bilal Bynum, and I think we have my co-host with me, Brother Aziz.
Yes, greetings, and assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal, and greetings to our audience out there. Glad to be a part of the show tonight, brother.
Oh, yeah. I guess after we've been away from the show for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
It's good to be back with the audience and continue to network with each other and find out where is our businesses in the community. So by networking with our radio show and the other activities that we have going, we can network and identify with each other. And we do that tonight by having an open mic. Our open mic this evening, you'll be able to come on and identify your business or your business ideas, and we will be certainly glad to hear them. So tonight, if you have a political discussion or a business discussion, our open mics certainly welcome your discussion. Brother Aziz, how was your last couple of weeks? And there's anything particular that you like to emphasize? Again, as you know, open mic, we just come up and speak our minds or make good ideas as to where one can go into business. But yes, Brother Aziz, by all means, we welcome your comments.
Yes, Brother Bilal, thank you. Well, in the last few weeks, you know, besides having a few health issues on the business and political and national scale that's affecting a lot of us African Americans, I've seen a rise in racism in this country, and it's getting to the point of bursting, you know, right now, and this type of activity is affecting a lot of businesses in the community. We're already dealing with the supply chain for commercial businesses, foods and things has been slowed down because of not having enough people to go to work with the COVID out there, and that all is here contributing to frustration among peoples. But in this frustration of all that going on the political side of things, wherein people really don't have control, they're just being fed this garbage. You know, this racism stuff, bro, is rising. That's what's increasing over everything.
No, they just got a governor, Brother Aziz, out in Virginia, and a Republican.
Yes.
So you're right on it. It's definitely raising its empty head. But go right ahead, brother. I just wanted to emphasize that and bring it to our audience attention on what the subject that you're talking about, and you can see the evidence of what you're talking about going on as we speak. Go right ahead, Brother Isaiah.
Yes, and, you know, it was leading up to these elections that's been going on around the country. And one that's kind of affected me mostly, being living in Maryland, is what's going on over in, what was going on in Virginia, because in the D.C. metro area I live in, and what goes on in Maryland and Virginia and D.C. affects, we all affect one another, especially on the economic scale. And what's going on, what happened to be going on with the election in Virginia, has led up to a lot of division in Virginia itself, the state itself, to the point to where, and most of the people in Virginia now, they're wondering what's going to happen. They're wondering, they look like their future has been stymied or something, but we don't know, because we have people from the African-American community on both sides of the political spectrum. We have them on the Republican side and the Democrat side. So they're feeling pretty bad about a lot of issues. However, when we see open racism is being displayed by the Republicans more than the Democrats. We don't say the Democrats are all for us and all that, because that's not true. But openly, the Republicans are displaying this, and they're still having African-Americans participate in, with them. And I find many of us that participate with them are well off. We're doing way better than our other African-American brothers and sisters. So a lot of those type of accomplishments there in the Republican political arena is just a personal progress for a person. It's not anything like a group progress. But what their parties are doing is open group hate. And all down south, it's like that, you know. And you would think down south is changing. I'm personally from Alabama, and among a lot of the children, Caucasian and African American, there's a lot of friendship, as well as there's a number of African American males married, going with Caucasian women, and they have children. And I'm talking about young, high school on up. And that's one part of what's affecting this major change in that. But there must be other things that's continually to keep this racism going on, in spite of what's, how we're living today, you know, trying to stop us from getting commercial business loans, putting all types of qualifications up there in order to get a loan. And I know we've had our accountant, Ms. Baker, Ms. Gina Baker, come on and explain a lot of that to us. And she says there's opportunities there. We're not qualified and hadn't qualified for a lot of the opportunities that she said was there. But what we must remember is there is PTSD that comes from racism, a lot of it. And it comes in all types of different forms. And one of the forms is where you're subjugated. You're subjecting yourself to stuff that you could really fight for and make a change in. A lot of our people don't know, political-wise, or people-wise, I should say, people-wise, in the southern part of America, the majority of people down there are African-American people. And if they was to politicize that large number they have in every state that they're in, they will find out they can make tremendous progress, which could help them or help us move forward economically, because it's the politicians that's pushing, you know, and supporting the business peoples and that, and getting from the business people things that they want to get done, as well as doing things for the business people. And they're not the large number in a lot of these places, these small towns as well as these big cities. We see in places like Mobile, Alabama, Birmingham, Montgomery, Alabama, they'll have black mayors. But at the same time, they're having these black mayors, and the population is overwhelmingly black. The city councils, there's almost a war going on in the city councils because, as one can see, when you see a city council meeting, you see people from different sections of the town. And when they have these meetings, there are different sections of people from the city of Mobile, Birmingham, and that. And they're marked off sections where we know that, period. A lot of people of certain ethnic groups do tend to congregate in certain areas and live, as well as have neighborhoods. Well, in this case, in Mobile, the wealthier neighborhoods has always been, it is today, in the Caucasian area that they claim for town. Well, when they come to a city council meeting, polls are doing better for the city. They don't want to see that. They want to maintain a grip that's been around these places for years. And business-wise, African-Americans are not benefiting from them because we have freeways that pass right over our communities. The exits are 2 miles down the road over another community. Where, you know, they're open to traffic, they're open to business and that. These type of things are what we're up against and fighting against in these different little cities where we are the number. And only because we don't exercise that number do we still continue to suffer. When all those voices are heard and exercised, change is coming. You can believe that, but this is something that we have to, you know, talk about more, be involved more, as you and I discussed once before, and you said, you know, our people have to be, it's a must in order for us to survive. We have to be in business and politics, both of them. If we're not in that, then we're not even going to be counted in a number. We'll just be a people that is among a number of different other people. And we don't want to be those people, oh, yeah, you know. So, yeah, they used to have all of this. They used to have all of Miami Beach, but they don't have nothing in Miami Beach now. They used to own most all of New Orleans. Very little of that now. So these are the types of things where we're definitely outnumbered. We definitely have the large number. We outnumber people. So when we do that, if you don't have no money in your pocket, you can still go vote. You can go vote for things that will help you get money in your pocket. Politics and business go together. They're one and the same. If you don't think it, look at all those lobbyists up on Capitol Hill. They're lobbying for businesses, money, people that, and these are the things that we're in. If we put somebody up there on the hill, they're supposed to look out for where they came from, not where somebody else is coming from. You know, they got to look out. So it's no doubt about it, Brother Bilal, and our audience, that politics and business and politics is a must for us. It is an absolute must. And we must be on the same page when we do these things. There's nothing wrong with accepting leadership from one of us or a group of us, but not a whole lot of us. Because we want to keep the same focus as we're keeping on the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. program. We keep the same focus. We focus on promoting and networking African American businesses. This is a way of us communicating with one another, getting to know more about one another, and bringing large masses of us together and communicate when we're doing business together. That's communication. And you know, nothing better than establishing a business by word of mouth, even though we have modern day technology to help us advance our businesses too. But the word of mouth is good. I mean, getting to know one another. That's why we ask you, who's ever listened to the program, if you're a business person or an individual that's interested in business, let us know. Let us know. Give some input in things you see going on out in the community and the business world, as well as some ideas you may have about businesses that can help others that listen to our program. This is the effort that the new Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. is constantly doing every week. Every week. As well as those that are part of the new Africa Business Association. Brother Bilal Bynum, the president, Ms. Shalor Williams, attorney, Ms. Gina Baker, our accountant, Abdul Aziz Shaheed is a co-host. That's what our intentions are, is to bring you the best information we can, covering most aspects of business. And when you're in the business, you definitely need someone like Brother Bynum as a financial counselor that's advising you. You need a lawyer to tell you the legal aspects, you know, so that your business doesn't go into a problem where you're having trouble. And, of course, we need an accountant. We need somebody to tell us what to do with our money so that the IRS don't come after us and try to ruin us. And in the case of African Americans, they will try to ruin you as quick as they can without any mercy at all. This is just the way the system works. It's just the way it works. I've seen it many a time like that with businesses. I'm not just running my mouth. I could name businesses that's been ruined because the IRS come after them. So that's why you need the type of professionals that we have here on the New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. Financial planning, legal responsibilities, as well as your having your accounting responsibilities taken care of. So anyone that's listened to us, Brother Brian said, our mic is open. And remember, you know, the two things we just started talking about, business and the political aspect, they do affect us tremendously. And these are things that truly we need to be in a part of, as well as establishing as a group or individuals. Doing it as a group is better. It doesn't put the strain on you. We're going to wear you down to your size of a pencil from worration. That's why we have all these things to offer. And as groups, and you can get together as groups, you still are going to need these offerings unless someone in your group has all these offerings. There's financial counselors, there's accountants, attorneys. So just remember those things. Those are some basics that I learned from our three professionals that are active on this show every Wednesday. So, yeah, Brother Bilal, this is just some of the things I just wanted to get out of there before we get into the other discussions. And appreciate you letting me get that out there for starters, from what I've experienced over the last couple of weeks.
Okay, Brother Aziz, we definitely appreciate your comments. Like we said, brothers, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is open mic night. Open mic, that means you can come in and discuss your general concerns, really. But, of course, if you have own a business, we look forward to you coming in and identifying your business and let us know who you are, so we can hopefully do business with you. And, of course, if you have a good business idea, like Brother Razi said, we are certainly interested in hearing that. But, again, our open mics, we ask you to join in on our discussions, and I am going to open the mics up to anyone who calls in. I would ask, though, that if you're not speaking, to keep your keep everything on mute until you're ready to speak. So we won't hear a whole lot of noise maybe in anyone's background. But other than that, I will be opening the mics up to anyone who has called in. So if you have, if you're on the phone, you're hearing us, we can certainly hear you. And we open for your suggestions. So any callers that are out there who wish to identify themselves and make a comment, we welcome your comments at this time. Our mics are open. Okay, well, Brother Aziz, like you were saying,
yes.
Look at what's going on, and we talked about that a few. You was mentioning a few things about the governor, the Republicans
yes.
becoming the governors in Virginia. That doesn't surprise me at all. I sort of knew that. Virginia was going to make I was almost sure they was going to do something and make a change. So that making this governor's change to a Republican governor, remember, we just had an insurrection. That insurrection mm-hmm. was for real. And that insurrection was saying that when it comes to what, like you were saying, racism and white supremacy, they were trying to save their way of life because there are so many changes going on in this country that is actually changing America's, and it's a conservative behavior, as they say. They're not going to use that word racism, but their conservative behavior, which is their way of life. And when we start, the Democrats got in the office, and starting in Virginia being the home of the Confederacy, and we went down there and started tearing down those statues, Stonewall Jackson and all of those.
Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee.
You sit there and you can just go on and on with them. All of those, this being the home of the Confederacy, being the home of the Ku Klux Klan, being the home of racism and all of that kind of hate, we went to the heart, Democrats and righteous independents, they went to the heart of this problem and started tearing down all of these races' symbols. And and these Confederates or these conservatives or whatever that makes up their hate, of course they hated that. I mean, even that march they had down there in Charlottesville where they drove right into the crowd, didn't care who they killed, going at 80, 90 miles an hour, driving right into a crowd. These folks just made them, so that demonstrates their hate. And then after that, you have an insurrection right here in Washington, D.C., where they're talking about changing the entire Constitution. And kill all of the anyone who wasn't a part of their white supremacy, and even white folks or the governors that were Democrats, they even want to kill them. All of the lawmakers, the Congress folks, even the vice president of the country, and the president of the United States was talking about killing them, and he's the head. Charging on, so this racism stuff, this race you saw in Virginia was a demonstration of how much they hate the actions that is being taken against racism that you were talking about. So it doesn't surprise me at all that the Commonwealth of Virginia, the home of Confederacy, took the action that they took. One thing you can see, though, is that I don't think a lot of African Americans voted in the governor's race. And I look at it, and because I looked at the whole race, and as they traveled around talking about school issues in Loudoun County, that's what you heard the news folks saying. Oh, the reason they lost the election is because of the school issues, and they wouldn't have the school board. Listen, let me tell you something. The school issues that was going on in Loudoun County, Virginia, those folks down in Chesapeake County, Virginia, down there where Annette Turner and them was all killed, they don't know anything about what went on in Northern Virginia and the school issues there. So, again, the political move couldn't have been anything about the school issues in Loudoun County, because you go past all
right.
the people in the Chesapeake area and all like that. They don't know anything about, they don't have the, especially the rural areas, and this is where millions live. They don't know anything. So, again, it had nothing to do with Loudoun County or what went on in, and Loudoun County is a brand new county. Some folks don't even know where it's located.
Right.
So, again, it had
exactly.
nothing to do with that. But, again, like I said, Virginia is the home of Confederacy. And everybody down there knows all about being a Confederate. And trying to tear down that Confederacy way of life is why you got the Republicans in control, because that state is a hated, I mean, they're the ones, the first slaves came through Virginia. Virginia has a state of hate that goes right on back into the beginning of slavery. You remember Nat Turner and all of them, how they fought for their freedom. I mean, they've been fighting for their freedom in Virginia for hundreds of years. So again, what happened in Virginia and this governor's becoming shows just how much hate those folks still have in them. And so, and ladies and gentlemen, all of you that are calling in and listening to our stations, you don't have to be idle on this. We welcome your comments. You can interject, come on in on the conversation. Like I said, I have anyone who's calling in, I'm opening up all the mics. But no, that is a beginning. So Virginia is an example of what's continuously going on as far as their conservative ways of life, and that insurrection and this election is showing that they're doing everything they can to take powers. Not only that, notice that voting rights, they're doing everything in their power to get rid of the African-American vote. Everything in their power to make certain that they can weaken that African-American vote. Because if they can, Virginia will be an example of what could happen, especially in the South, where the power of African Americans are. African Americans showed that when they do come together and register and vote, they can take control of a lot of legislation. But when they don't, but most of the time, if you, like I said, this election, this governor's election, there was nothing at all that was offering African Americans any reason or any motivation to really come to the polls. No kind of a speeches was made on any kind of benefits or growth, and especially when it comes to police brutality and all like that, public schools, mm-hmm. education, any kind of advancement. And we need advancement in all areas because we've been denied, but none of it was issued as far as African Americans. And that's why you didn't see too many African Americans. And I looked at it and I said, I don't see too many African Americans voting in this Virginia election. And I was right, because there was no reason for us to vote in this election. And so the white folks got what they want. And if they think that they can live with Republicans better than we can, so be it. Because remember, we're African Americans. We came through slavery. We wouldn't have been through the worst of all of their hate. I don't think they can apply any more hate than what they've already applied against us. So if you want to put a Republican in that office, or you want to put a Democrat in that office, it really don't make us any difference. I don't see where either party is really going to benefit us. I don't see where any party is benefiting us as we speak, including the President of the United States. I don't see where Joe Biden has any agenda at all now that he's in office and we put him there. What have you seen Joe Biden saying anything about, and especially when you start talking about opportunity zones?
Right.
Let's talk about the opportunity zones. Opportunity zones is a legislation that was put into effect really by the Obama's administration, but the Obama's administration didn't have it passed through law. The opportunity zone that Obama's administration proposed was really put into law by the Trump administration. And it was a legislation that said that if you would build up low-income areas, and we know all African-American communities is low-income and low-productive areas, and we know African-American communities, low production, there ain't no businesses in our areas. The opportunity zones was to give all kinds of tax incentives to anyone who would go into these areas that was basically had a legislation that had redlining. And we know that redlining law goes all the way back to the beginning of World War II, the New Deal, the first New Deal. And African Americans was excluded from the first New Deal. But now this is second New Deal they're talking about right now, passing this infrastructure bill. There's nothing in there that says there is monies that's going to stimulate the activities and businesses that are located in these opportunity zones. I don't see anything at all that's supporting that, driving that during this administration. And like I said, we put the man in office. So and we know that the key, at least for African Americans, if we control businesses in our own communities and control the politics of our communities, nothing else would really be of any effect to us or anything. In other words, if you want to have your way of life being a racist or whatever, it's fine. Nothing, as an American, you have that right. But I am saying, if we as African Americans had our own cash flow, and business is the only way you can have cash flow circulating in your community, is by having businesses. And so again, the day that we can have businesses right directly in the black community, I ain't talking about having to go uptown or cross town or downtown to somebody else's community. I'm talking about that community that in every black community in this every state where African Americans are large numbers, you do not see any businesses in any of these communities. And that's why the proportion of the standards of living, the mode of living, is so much difference between all other classes and our peoples are dead last, because businesses does not exist in our communities. So when it comes to the opportunity zones legislation, it's only stuff on paper. There is nothing that is enhancing or advancing that legislation. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Ozzie. We look at, and we have a right to look at legislation because we're taxpayers. It's like money is returned back to other communities. We have a right for that to be returned to our communities. But at the same time, when it comes to the private sectors of our communities, and I'm talking about now our professionals, our doctors, our lawyers, our engineers, our electrical folks, when it comes to the professional, those businesses, those professionals who are running their business, again, uptown, downtown, across town, anywhere other than their own black communities, because integration, they left their own black communities. But now that they have this opportunity zone legislation that says that you can go back to your communities and take your professional business with you, there's all these tax incentives where you don't have to worry about the profits that you're making if you go back home. If these black businesses, professional businesses, would go back to their own black communities, they could not only build their businesses in their communities, and it won't cost them as much. Most of them wouldn't even have to worry about being rentals anymore, because they can afford now to go back to their communities and build their own businesses. And on top of those businesses, there are tax write-offs for doing so, because you built the business in an opportunity zone, which is your own black community. So we as black professionals are not taking the advantage of keeping a lot of profits, because, again, if you have your own business, own the business, you ain't got to worry about paying rent. And I'll be honest with you, I've been in business for 40 years. I know the difference between owning my business. But before I owned a business, I paid rent. And I'm saying, when I'm you paying $2,000 or $3,000 a month and rent, I mean, look at how much money, look at your, when it comes to your growth income, how much of that was in expenses that you could have eliminated, and all now you can have a large net income. Most of us growth income, but when it comes to a net income, the net income, you may not have it, or it's very small. But look at that growth income, man. I made $300,000. But after expenses and all, I'm lucky if I walk away with $30,000. You see, so high expenses is something every businessman would want to get away from. And having the legislation that says you can have businesses in your own black communities, because these communities are undeveloped, you would think would be a wonderful incentive for these professional business folks who, like I said, the lawyers and the doctors and the engineers and the plumbers and the electrical folks, the motor, I mean, you know who you are. All of that, all of those businesses, your big opportunities is bringing, building those businesses right in your own communities. because of there you can become business owners rather than renters, and big tax write-offs. And those tax write-offs, they tell me, are good for 10 years. 10 years in one day. So any profits that you make in the next 10 years in one day, these profits are no taxes. You're walking away. Like you said, you got net income now. You got the growth income, and don't worry about it because I don't have all these taxes and stuff. Now I got a great big net income, and that's what every businessman is out there working for. So again, having businesses right in your own communities and those communities, because of redlining and discrimination, legislators are saying now we're going to give you the opportunity to grow your communities and give you all kinds of tax advantages in order to do so. So I would think it would be an incentive, Brother Aziz, for business folks to grow their businesses in the community.
Absolutely.
Now, I would think it would be
like a good opportunity.
I guess. So again, brothers and sisters, those of you who are listening, like I said, we're going to continue to sit here and like I said, and we host the show. And our conversation is always about business or politics, network marketing, and identifying businesses in our communities. Our emphasis is the African-American businesses, because that's who we want to get to know, and that's who we want to patronize. We want to patronize each other. So by network marketing and business identification, that's what this program is all about. And so, again, tonight is an opportunity where businesses can identify themselves. So if you are with us tonight, if you're on the station, we certainly welcome your comments. And, again, I'll be quiet for a second and tell you that our mics are open. You're welcome to the program. We welcome your comments. Our mics, again, are open. All right, well, Brother Aziz, we will continue. General, I'm sorry, Brother Aziz, go right ahead.
I was going to say, might ought to let them know who our sponsors are.
Yes, I will take a commercial break. The only sponsors we got right now is sponsoring that. For the next couple of programs, Bynum's and Associates is sponsoring the program, and I go to one of our commercials, but right now I think I just want to stay on our subject because what's going on right now, we should be taking it very, very serious. I got evidence, Brother Aziz.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. Now, when I say evidence, I spoke to a legislator who didn't mean to speak to me, didn't know who I was, and felt as though they could speak openly because I was in a rural area where folks didn't know anything about legislation because they had never spoken to a legislator or had a legislator to even be in their presence. And this person was there only because of a funeral. A lady, African-American lady, I'd been knowing the lady all my life. She was 104 years old before she deceased. And a person who's lived this long in a community in Delaware, rural area, Sussex County, Delaware, is where in a little town called Slaughter Neck. Slaughter Neck is a black town that goes all the way back to slavery. I know I was raised in this little town. When I was raised in the town, we were all black township, all to black community. And we were self-sufficient because most of the work was farming, and you had your own black farmers who owned their own land, so we all worked for each other and took care of each other. And this was during the whole time of segregation. I left the town because they drafted me and sent me to Vietnam, but I'm saying I never knew anything out of this little town other than segregation and that part of Delaware, Sussex County, Delaware. And I haven't been back to the area or lived in the area in over 50 years. Like I said, I felt like I escaped from the place years ago. But anyway, I was there, and this Caucasian gentleman came out of the church. And I was myself and a couple more citizens from that town. We were just holding a conversation. He walked up to us, and he introduced himself. And we thought he was a visiting preacher. And we told him, we spoke to him and asked him if he was a visiting preacher. He said, no, I'm not a visiting preacher. I am a state representative that represents Delaware's, and like I said, the southern parts of Delaware. And he asked everybody at that point, me and my buddies, well, didn't ask me, he just asked everybody in general that was around me. And he introduced, said he was the state representative for the southern parts of Delaware, and a Slaughter Neck, this black town, along with Lewis, Delaware, where most of you heard of that name, Rehoboth, Delaware. I know you've heard of Rehoboth, Milton, Delaware, all the way up to Milford, Delaware. He was the state representative of that part of southern Delaware. And I asked him, I said, he asked if there was anybody who had any concerns about anything he could take back to the legislative body. That's the way he asked us. Anything, we had any concerns that he could take back to his legislative body. Nobody said anything. Nobody had no concerns. So after I give everybody else a chance, because like I said, I haven't lived in the area for 50 years. I didn't feel it was my right to just speak up. Others who were still living there, they should have had for our first opportunity to speak. And I give them that, but nobody said anything. So I told the man, I said, yes, I have a concern. He asked me my name. I introduced myself, Bilal Masudi. And I told him, I said, my concern was, and I asked him, I said, before I address my concern, see, I would ask you to look around the community, because the community in this town called Slaughter Neck has really grown. I mean it. Since I was a kid, I can't believe how, you know, the young, like in most little small rural towns, you see where younger folks leave the town and what. Well, in Slaughter, they just
right.
Got, the younger folks stays there. They don't leave. They stay in that black town, and so they build their homes there. And so the community has really, really grown in the last 50 years. But within that 50-year period, like I told them, I said, legislative representative, Caucasian, I told them, I said, look around you. I said, you see all these beautiful homes, you see all this growth. I said, but you don't see not one business in this whole community. Not one business is nowhere. I said, do your legislative representatives for the southern part of Delaware, do your legislative representatives have anything on the agenda that can stimulate business activities in this community? And I don't think he was ready. I know he wasn't ready for my question, but the only way he could answer the question was giving it to me straight. He didn't have time to be diplomatic or to tell me a lie. He had to give it to me straight. And so giving it to me straight, he had to give it to me just like the legislative bill was written. And he told me, he said, Bynum, he said that ever since they built Highway 1, and you know Highway 1 runs all the way from Maine to Ocean City. It goes through from Maine to Ocean City. So you're talking about Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, northern parts of that, all the way down to Ocean City, then until y'all include Maryland. Highway 1. So in the summertime, millions of cars are going down to the eastern shores, those shores, every day, almost all night long. That traffic is constantly moving. And now all of those towns that I mentioned that is on Highway 1, and I'll name them again. You got starting from Milford. You have a couple more little places that are called Slaughter Beach and all like that. And after that, you go past Slaughter Neck, the town to Black Township, because all of those townships are naming all white townships. But this, then after Slaughter Neck, you got Milton, Delaware, you got Lewis, Delaware, Rehoboth, all the way down to Bethany Beach, and blah, 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 until you get into Maryland. Now, he told me, he said, when it comes to Slaughter Neck, and the reason that there's no business activities in this black town is because there's legislation that says that this black town, not those other towns that I mentioned, but this one black town, Slaughter Neck, Delaware, these black folks cannot own commercial businesses nowhere close to Route 1. And this heavy traffic, there are ordinances that prevent them from doing so. Only this little black town. They can't even put up a business in their own community. White folks have legislation that prevent the whole town from putting up any kind of business. Now, they can put up a barber shop or a beauty, but they can't do that too close to Route 1, where they can't put up no signs. In other words, they don't want that heavy traffic flow doing business in that black town. And there is legislation, and this is 2021. He said he's been trying to get that legislation changed ever since he's been in office, but naturally he's supposed to tell us that. Now that he hasn't told us how we're being discriminated against. So now he said that he's been trying to get it changed himself ever since for a long time, but he hasn't been able to do it. And then at that point, he was telling me he had enough money, he had to go. And he left immediately. But I can't, you know, that is a perfect example of when they talk about what
systemic racism.
That's the word. That is.
Yes.
That is. And which means that white folks are the ones that are controlling this systemic racism thing, and they're doing it in secrecy, legislated, and using legislators, churches, using all of their power to see to it that we do not advance. So that's why when it comes to being registered, even in these rural areas, because many of these rural areas, like this town, this slaughter, that town, the effort that I was telling you, most of the folks in this area are African Americans, but that the minority, the white minorities that are controlling them, are a minority. They are few, but the reason that they can keep control of all these African Americans don't know anything about legislation. They don't even know. They don't even get legislative reports. They don't know that there's going to be a meeting concerning a certain legislative change. This information is not sent to their community. They don't even know who the representatives that is doing all the terrible things to them. And there's a lot of displacement went on in Delaware, especially Lewis, Delaware. Rehoboth, Delaware. You know, you go to Lewis, Delaware nowadays and try to buy a house, you can't buy a house nowhere close to those shores. $750,000, you got maybe a little small something. But most of those houses over out there is going to cost you way over $1 million. And these are houses are the places I'm talking about. Like I said, these used to be black communities. There ain't no black folks there anymore. They all been displaced. See, this is what I mean about owning your own land. Even if you are in a black community. If you're in a black community and you're not owning your own land, you're renting or something like that, if somebody came in and all of a sudden there's an advantage to put you out and keeping you out, it's easy to do because you didn't own the property. And that's what happened to those folks in Lewis and Rehoboth. And I said those folks, I mean African Americans and those black communities that I came up with. I know they was there. We used to play baseball, hardball. We had in the hard grace, and you know when you have to play hardball, especially you start talking about playing in the big leagues, you got your fences. Some center field fence might be 400 feet away. Left field fence, so you can see how big the ballparks are. And we, all of these towns had, and most of these parks came from the old American Negro League. None of that stuff exists no more. They don't have those lands. I mean, they displaced these folks. And like I said, you go to Lewis, Delaware now, Rehoboth, you don't see no black people, no black townships. They all, I don't know what happened to them, but I know one thing. The white folks went in there to what used to be black communities, and now you go in there, $1 million homes. So again, legislators are in with these white supremacists. All of them are in it together. And because these things could not happen unless the legislators went along with what we call lobbyists, but they ain't nothing but each other's friends. They was all raised together, and this is all planned by white people, and it's being done all over this country. But the sad thing about this situation that's going on in this black community called Slaughter Neck, Delaware, and what's going on in that black community in Slaughter Neck, Delaware, is that our president, Joe Biden, has been in control of that state for over 50 years. 50 years, Joe Biden and his son, because his son was the attorney general, which was his son was the lawmaker before he died. But again, if you look at the situation, what's happening to those folks, down in Sussex County, Delaware. And you can't, and Joe Biden, Democrat, or Donald Trump as a Republican. When it comes to black folks and taking away opportunities or trying to help us with our opportunities, there's your example right there. And not only, and I'm saying this is true, Sussex County, Delaware, for black folks, there is no place in Mississippi that could be any worse than what's going on in Sussex County, Delaware, right now as we speak. And Joe Biden is our president. So when it comes, and Joe Biden, I voted for him. But the only reason I voted for Joe Biden is because all of my sisters and brothers down in South Carolina, you know, they're the first ones who started giving him power and recognition. So I said, maybe I'm wrong. Even though I'm from Delaware, I know I came up doing segregation. I ain't never had no breaks. It's always been tough for white supremacy in that state. That's why I left. They sent me to Vietnam damn to try to have me killed under and I was living under segregated laws, and they didn't care. Then when I come back home, I see my buddies who did go to Vietnam working in chicken factories. I mean, I haven't no kind of advancement from a slave work, even though they're war veterans. So again, but that's Delaware. But I thought, maybe I'm wrong about something. Maybe I'm wrong about Mr. Biden. But I'm going to be honest with you, brother, Brother Isaac. So this thing about Biden or Donald Trump, they're beautiful white. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to their way of life, and they, it might be in different ways or different ways of showing it, but both of them are going to support white supremacy. Both of them are going to support it. And because if not, then how can it that you have a town that, like I said, I learned about this information this last Saturday past. That's when I went to the funeral. That's when I picked up this information. Mm-hmm. And those folks out there in the rural area, they don't know anything about legislation or how do you sign or how do you go to town. They don't, and most of them have fear because they don't go to places. White folks, they're scared to go to places where white folks go. There's a fear to go to these town meetings and what have you. So won't tell me anything about a Democrat white person or a Republican white person. I have no confidence in neither one of them. And like I said, my confidence is I know that I need to be independent in the way I am independent as a person in a capitalist society. I have to own my own property. And I have to see my property grow and its values. And that has to be not only my property, but my community's. Have to also, which means I have to become a part of my community because I need my communities in order to have the type of security that a community have to have. That's another thing. We as African Americans, this fighting and killing each other, man, we don't know what a great big mistake we're making because white folks love it. Man, you're doing exactly what they want you to do, and that's why they want to keep this situation just like they have it for you, where you cannot have any opportunities or be able to grow any opportunity zones in your community because, again, they know that would have, now we don't have no reason to fight and kill each other because we don't have deep poverty. And anytime you have a large amount of poverty, and you're going to have all of this fighting and killing each other. Nobody who's hungry and can see their family hungry is going to be peaceful. hell, you can damn near, you almost you can't afford to be two pieces. I'm broke, hungry, and no way to feed my family. But I'm looking at folks who throwing away food they got so much. Oh, you're going to have a problem. And you're going to have folks going back and forth to jail and the jail sphere. That's going to be continuously. And so again, Brother Aziz, and another thing, being able to share information with African Americans. You see, what we're talking about here tonight, and our audience is not that big. Our audience should be loaded, learning about this type of thing and being able to share what they know that is going on in our community. Because we might be laid back and not being involved and not being a part of proactive things that we should be doing in our community. But boy, I'll tell you, those folks who hate you, they are right. Boy, they're working right now. And Virginia is an example of what's to come. And it's going to be real sad. Like you said, because it's gotten so bad until a lot of cutthroats between African American, our own citizens. You find our middle class and upper class now don't want nothing to do with the lower class. They're seeing things the way that Donald Trump see things. They see things the way that the white supremacists are seeing it. Look at the lieutenant governor of the state of Virginia. Look at her. She's a sister, black woman.
Everything
Donald Trump wants, she wants.
See, that's she's gun toting.
And this is a woman who came here from, she's not a true African American. No, she came from Ghana, or somewhere out there in the island somewhere. Came here with.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's not a. Yeah, she's one of someone who came Ghana's or one of the islands or something like that who came here and raised in our community and turned the way they're turning. So again, brother, we like I said, we African Americans got things to do and things that they really, really need to be about doing. And one of them is their independence and making certain they have their independence. And you ain't gonna have your independence unless you own property. Unless you are a property owner.
And especially you're saying where these people in Slaughter Neck they're on the highway where they could have businesses that are making money, and
Brother
there's
Aziz,
a law preventing them.
Brother Aziz, I'm so glad you brought that up. When you start talking about making money, and like I said, that highway has been there, that Route 1 highway, it's like an autobahn. Scratch it all out. I mean, if you can travel real, I mean, keep going because it's a paid highway. You have to pay to be on that highway. It's not a free highway. So again, when they built that highway, it bought business opportunities to all these communities, all the way from Maine to Ocean City. You got to stop somewhere in Jersey. You got to stop somewhere in Pennsylvania. You got to stop somewhere in Connecticut. You got to stop somewhere in Delaware, upper parts, all the way until you get all the way to Maryland, until you run into the ocean. You got to make your stops because you food and what have you, shopping centers, hotels. All of this, these millions of travelers are making stops. But so my point is by slaughtering that black community, not having a commercial development and being denied a commercial development. Look how much money they were denied and making in the last 30 years.
Trillions of dollars.
And this is why our people cannot catch up and cannot live a dignified a life, because there are legislators, white folks, who are actually putting laws that make certain that you can't be productive. And most of us don't know anything about these things. We're just wondering, I mean, when is, like you said, when is my ship coming in? Your ship has come in a million times. They done took it from you. They unloaded all your cargo and kept it. You know?
Yeah.
So again, that's why. So right now, that law in Slaughter Neck, Delaware, and knowing that that law is there, now my thing is that I know I haven't lived there in over 50 years, but I'm going to do everything I can to investigate and get a copy of that particular law.
That zoning law, yeah.
I don't know if you call it zoning or what, but I do know the man said that there is legislation that prevents this. So that means tell me that the legislators of Sussex County, Delaware, the entire legislative, they had to vote all this in. So which means the entire county, the entire Sussex County, which is the other half, you only have two halves of Delaware. You have Sussex County, and then you have what they call, I think, Kent County. They may have broken up and added a few more, but that's basically what it breaks down to. Kent County is the northern part, and Sussex County is the southern part. And you're talking about a huge area on both sides. And the Sussex County laws, which is the rural area, this is the kind of legislation that is being passed and the kind of racism that's going on. And like I said, those folks in that area, most of them are, it's not a question of education, many of them, but if you don't, when it comes, you know, here in Washington, D.C., see, we're gifted. We know a whole lot about legislation, lobbying, and different legislators, because we're around so much of that. But you take African Americans basically around this country, they are not privileged to having that information. They don't know anything about how I sign up being a registered lobbyist. How do I be in a liaison and act as a liaison for this or that? They don't need, as a matter of fact, that word of liaison, they don't know what you're talking about. The word, I would think legislation itself would be something that most of them don't know anything about. So it's a matter of, and like I said, and then if they do know, shoot, you go to some of these areas in the rural area where these group up, you scared to go in there to voice your concerns or what have you. Because nine times out of ten, there's going to be 100 of them, and you don't, 1,000 of them, you might be the only little spot in there. Talking about coming in, objective to this, I'm objective to that. So it's a matter of fear.
Yeah, exactly. I know, I've stopped at places like that going south, these, I forget what they call them, Lazy Janes or something. Like, grab something to eat. You may not see none of us up in there except working, serving. And still, it ain't never bothered me. But, you know, it has to do with coming out of one environment, going into another one, and seeing that things are different. when you don't see things are different, you know, you don't have nothing to motivate you to, you know, to do different. And that's, I think that's what may be missing a lot of times, having the motivation individually as well as, you know, politically and business-wise in our communities, you know. And it's
and
something,
brother,
that, you know.
Brother, business is the key. Business,
yeah.
And then running your own, knowing that you have control of your own political situation. And see, by having having your community's business owned, now we work for each other. We own our businesses. We're hiring each other. All right, we work for each other, and our cash flow stays into the community because we're buying from different businesses in our community. So that cash flow stays there. And by keeping that cash flow in your community, now not only are you growing your communities, and it takes businesses to grow your community. And not only are you growing your communities, but the wealth is staying in your communities. So having the independence, making yourself an independent community, now you can control legislation. Because you're going to start using your business powers to your legislative advantages. But right now, you don't have any businesses. Most of you work for somebody. You're on low wages. You're unemployed or what have you. What are you planning on doing legislative-wise? When do you have time? When do you even think about such a thing? Never. And that's what's going on in most of our communities now. And simply because we don't have businesses and we don't have reason to think about our community and independence. We don't even have a real good reason to think about our community independence. Why? Because there's no community independence values that is making your life any more valuable. You start thinking that you're in your own community, ain't worth nothing. So again, I can't tell you, first of all, but as far as just identifying Slaughter Neck, Delaware, as far as I am concerned, has a wonderful class action suit that they should be speaking to lawyers or what have you to see about bringing on a class action suit against Sussex County federal legislators of Delaware. And they should be on Joe Biden's case. Every African-American should be writing letters to Joe Biden and ask him to, and not only African-Americans in Delaware, but Joe Biden is the president of this country for all African-Americans. So this is an example of what's happening in your state. This is what the reason why there is no opportunity zone going on in your state, even though there's legislation being passed that says that there is all kinds of grants and monies for opportunity zone building, but nobody is executing that type of advancement in your state. So again, African Americans need to be called Joe and asking Joe Biden, why is these things, and especially using Slaughter Neck, that little town, because Slaughter Neck, Delaware is an example of what's going on in Detroit. Slaughter Neck, that little town in Delaware, is an example of what's going on all over New York, Harlem, all of the places where you see no kind of advancement. North, I mean, every state in this country, Slaughter Neck, Delaware, is an example of what's being done to you. And so we all need to use what we that example and attack it. Attack it by attacking our legislators to make sure and ask them, why isn't there business stimulation going on in black communities all over this country? I mean, we know that after World War II and the New Deal, we know that African Americans was intentionally shut out of opportunity growth, and this was done by the federal government. You take a city, I think the name of the city is New Rochelle. Is that the name of the city in New York? New Rochelle, is that what, is that the name of the city, Aziz? I've never been there.
There is one section of the city, yeah. Well, it's a city, yeah.
Do you know anything about how that city got started and got its
No, Brother Bilal, I just heard of New Rochelle. Well,
let me tell you what I think I know anyway.
Mm-hmm.
After World War II, they started the New Deal. And the New Deal was started basically out of New York City. And what it is, military after World War II and all the soldiers and what have you came home, big cities like New York was just simply overcrowded. It was crowded enough before the war, but now that all the soldiers are coming home, they're now really crowded. So the Veterans Administration came up with what was called the New Deal, just like this New Deal that's coming up, coming on right now. But that New Deal back during World War II bought on the Veterans Housing Administration. The Veterans Housing Administration, the government put millions and millions of dollars out to builders. But the first one, before they started building all over the country, their example was right there in New York. They did all these little towns or cities that you hear, like New Rochelle, New York. These places didn't exist during that time. They were number woods. But the when they started the GI housing program, New Rochelle was the first, was the model example. And they took and built that town, tore down all the woods, bought in the bulldozers. We saw how all that was done when we were in at war, how we could go into a jungle and tear down the, and that's what was happening there. They took all the woods and built that town, New Rochelle, and they put all those houses today. It's one of the richest cities in New York, to tell me today. But they took and built and put all of those houses and built that city off of New York, and then all of the veterans that was in these crowded homes in New York City, they could come out to this new city, New Rochelle, and they could get these homes simply by signing their names. And everybody could get these homes but black people. Black veterans was excluded. But all others could move to New Rochelle and get these homes. And, of course, they did. And 5 years or so like that, these homes start getting equity, so you can sell your house, you can borrow money from your homes. So in addition to the GI Bill and veterans, black veterans being excluded, they also started what was called redlining. And redlining, of course, meant that all the blacks, and that is going on even today, all your black communities, and they had divisions in all communities, and this is why you say you live across the track, that old terminology. Well, if you live across the track, they had tracks that might be a barrier to the cutoff of one, a black community. They might have barrels that were put up. It may be a road. There may be a bridge. But something is going to divide the black community and the white community. And that white communities, of course, financial institutions was putting their monies. You could put money, buy your homes is worth money, but the black communities, your homes and nothing else was worth any kind of large cash. Why? Because they didn't want cash going into the black communities. So by excluding businesses and by excluding the GI housing program, black folks was put back right on, and that started in world, and right on up to today's time. Look how many hundreds, and you can't account for the monies that we have lost, but the monies that white communities have gained, especially military personnel, white military personnel have gained, and black military personnel have lost. And that's been from World War II right on up to today's date. So again, when it comes to financial gains, the federal government is the lead sources that tries to keep monies out of the black communities. So all of them are working against us. Federal, state, local, white supremacists, businesses, anything that has anything to do with white power is working against black folks all over this country. And this is my opinion. And I wish I could change that opinion. But my goodness, I see an example of it all the time. Like I said, I just went to Delaware, man. The information was just put into my lap. It didn't interest nobody but me. Found that type of discrimination was something that you need to look into, because the citizens there was used to it. They were used to it. But me, I know it was a disgrace. And so, and you can't tell me it's not a disgrace where every township can have businesses, but that black community that I came from as a child, I left because of our segregation and the hardship of racism in the state of Delaware. That hardship has never left. That racism is still there. And Joe Biden, for 50 years, has been the representative of Delaware. He's never changed it. My question is, African Americans put him in office, and they said he was a good man. I went along with it. I voted for him. But I'm from Delaware, and I'm from that rural area. I know all about Sussex County, Delaware, and it's worse today than it was when I was a kid. It is it's terrible, and all the white folks around that area, they don't have no problem with it. It's just a normal way of life. So, Brother Aziz, like I said, we have an open mic. Anyone who wish to make any comments, we welcome your comments. And But like I said, New Africa Business Association and any other associations that African Americans can get started as to where you can share information that hopefully can be a stimulus to community growth, then we certainly need to hear from you, and we need to hear that information. Because the way that white folks and white supremacy get away with most stuff is that they have all kinds of channels of communication. Black folks don't have no way of communicating with each other. So that what happens to a black person in Mississippi or Delaware or New York or Pennsylvania or Chicago or California, we don't have no way of knowing it. And somebody might put something on the news, but there's a lot of activities going on in our communities all over this country, and it's going on 24 hours a day, good and bad. But the good, we don't have no way of knowing it or any way of sharing good information and the growth from that good information, because we have no a real way of communicating with each other. And especially business-wise, if I don't know you as a business person, I don't know where your business, I don't care if you're a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. If I don't know who you and where you are, there is no way we can do anything with each other, because we have no way of recognizing or communicating with each other. So, Black communications or communications in our community is very important. So we ask that you support the New Africa Business Association. We keep this Brother Aziz and ourselves. We come on, and we've been coming on here now for 6 years, Brother Aziz. And I noticed that our audience, sometimes we might get a large audience. Sometimes we might be done. They're sitting around here talking to herself. But again, we cannot close down our, and we pay for this radio station. We cannot close down the radio station, even though we want to, because it is an expense. But we keep the thing going because, like I said, what I ran into over the weekend and see how white supremacy is destroying and trying to continue to destroy our communities in many, many fashions. And one of the ways is making certain that black folks, but you got black Republicans now, and black Democrats, and you have them all herding to what Donald Trump. They, and going along with luck. And so this is the type of damage. There was a time, there was a time you could almost trust an African-American politician. Because, again, we didn't have no other reason. We got in office by the truth. Someone helped us. But now you have you have white folks now who are intentionally putting certain African-Americans in office just to keep us off balance. You have these white, black, black representatives, Republican, they're saying they hate to hear the word racism. They think racism is an excuse. I use all kinds of, but then white folks told them to say that. And so at some point, you're not even going to have a black person saying that I've been discriminated against. Because again, they might be to the point where they're ashamed of saying it, because black folks have made them ashamed of saying that you are being discriminated against. Because we as black folks who are supposed to be of some importance, we're telling you what our white folks saying, ain't no racism. You know, ain't no racism.
Yeah.
You see, so I feel that there's stuff going on in our communities, brother, and it is meant to destroy the entire community. Because the day that they can break up that black community, two things they're breaking up, the power of that black dollar, and then the power of the political gain. And blaming that, now they ain't worried about breaking up the power of the black dollar too tough, because they're getting our dollars anyway. But that political gain, they like to break that up because, I mean, look at New York City. Yeah, we talked about governor of Virginia, but for the mayor, black mayor, is mayor of the biggest city in this country. You see, so that's the power. And
exactly.
We know who put him in office. That's the power they want to break up. That's the power they short say they want to break up. So brothers and sisters and brothers, brother Aziz, we're going to go back to our, any one of you who are out there who have any comments or like to make any comments, our mics are open to you. We welcome your comments. Okay, well then, so Brother Aziz, in that case, then I am not going to, I know we have a 2-hour show. We got about 20 more minutes left, but we don't have a large audience tonight. We have, from what I'm looking at on my call in, I don't know who we have on the internet because we can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
But because I don't see that call in participation, I'm not going to just sit on the radio and just generalize. What we have to do now is too important to just talk.
Absolutely.
If we don't see a good, if we ain't being proactive and buying businesses and investing in our communities jointly to put businesses, and then using
right.
our political powers to take some of these legislated races policies off the books, then I don't see the point of anything else. But just to come on this radio and just talk, I don't have no interest in doing that. So again, if you're interested in networking and becoming a independent, because this is something African Americans can do. There's nothing can stop us if we would become united. You know that unity that we had from the baby boomers is gone.
Yeah.
The baby boomers, I can say it was our generation that has given African Americans the dignity that you see that we have today. But now that we are diminishing, most of us are dying off, that dignity is dying with us. These white supremacists didn't act that way. I mean, because, again, we showed supremacy when we took our independence and took our civil rights. We didn't do this because they were giving it to us. No. We had to show supremacy with supremacy. But today, like you were saying a few moments ago down in Alabama and Georgia and all, our black brothers are running around with the Caucasian females, and everybody's just running around barefooted and what have you. But that's We got our work cut out, Brother Aziz. But like I said, our that generation that we have coming on now, boy, there's no unity in our communities whatsoever. There is nobody saying that I look out for my brothers and my brother looks out for me. Remember when we was coming up, we all said we had each other's back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You see that, you know, we're killing each other now.
It seems like brothers, seems like they've taken the unity out of community, you know.
Well, integration did it. Because integration, you remember we was talking to African-American school teachers last year, and we asked the question, and they informed us that most of the teachers, that there's only around 10% black teachers that are teaching our kids. The other 80 or 90% of our kids all over this country are white folks.
That's right. Absolutely. That's,
you know, all over this country. So in that case, the man just said in Virginia, the governor just said one of the things he's going to make certain that they make certain they don't teach is a black history.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing you said. They wasn't going to be teaching. They don't want black history taught. You see?
Yes. They don't want the history to be taught, trying to cover up something.
Yeah.
That's the work of the devil. That's Satan.
No, it's the work of white supremacists who want to keep their supremacy way of life going. And they don't care whether it's good or bad, whether it's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, they want to stay on the top, trying to look down, you know. It's not going to stand.
But like I said, brother,
not going to stand anymore.
They know they're fighting their final battle. But boy, I'm gonna tell you, they're ready to put up a hell of a battle and you can tell that from that insurrection that they tried up there on the hill. But you want to know something? As much as we talk about that stupid insurrection, it was a stupid insurrection. And the reason I say it was a stupid insurrection is because had you had loyal security personnel, and I'm talking about loyal security personnel, I'm talking about those of us who served in the military, especially those of us who served in war. We know now, because insurrections, we got into insurrections every damn day. But you know what did we do with our insurrection?
Mm-hmm.
We crushed them.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you
can't tell me, the only reason that stupidity and you got police officers are dead from it, but white folks was collaborating with each other that day, including the security force. All those Capitol Hill policemen were white. Most of, and I say all of them because the very few minorities they had that you couldn't account. But all those policemen, thousands of them, was white. What did they do? They shook hands with those white supremacists. They all hugged each other. They even showed them everything they needed to know. And when those folks got violent, the policemen couldn't stop them. You know why they couldn't stop them? Because they supported them. They couldn't shoot. In other words, let's say, and I'll, let me see the best way to put this. it's my belief, and from witnessing that day, white folks are incapable of shooting other white folks. I don't care how bad they're acting. They can't shoot and stop because that insurrection was something that calls for order, and that order would have caused for a lot of folks, a lot of those folks who was bringing on insurrection, supposed to have been taken out. Mm-hmm. It was never supposed to have gotten to the point it was as to where someone can say, I have taken over the Constitution of this country. No country in the world can do it, but you mean to tell me a few white supremacists from around can come here and take over it? No. Take over this country and change, and have our lawmakers running into a tunnel and hiding. And I mean, it was a disgrace.
Yeah.
It was a disgrace, but the reason is because white folks cannot secure other white folks. They may not be a direct part, but they have some sort of a sympathy, a mission, or some sort of understanding with each other. But I'll tell you one thing. Had they let the D.C. Police Department handle that, it would have never gone down the way it went down, because those D.C. guys, now you're talking about a whole lot of blacks and a diversified. They wouldn't have had no reason to hold back and allow an insurrection and allow our lawmakers, including the vice president of the country, somebody we didn't like, but he still was the vice president, to run and hide and be scared. And be scared the way that went down. Like you said, brother, we know, Brother Aziz, you and I already know. They could have bought in any of our old units.
Yeah.
And we would have crushed that damn insurrection. Yeah. That thing would have been crushed in about 10 minutes. A lot of folks would have been hurt.
Indeed.
But it would have been stopped in about 10 minutes. You can't tell me that damn white supremacists. You can't tell me the white supremacists would have been more of a problem to stop than them daggone Vietnamese who came us. During that tech period, and they came up insurrected us with millions of troops and all kinds of firepower.
Yeah.
But when we stopped it, when we put a stop to it, millions of us attacked us, tried to destroy all of us. But when we put a stop to it, there was damn near 100,000 of them laid dead. And there was no more saying any attacks. And so again, these are soldiers, and these are regular, these are trained soldiers. Just think about them being amateur white supremacists. So I'm saying black folks don't have nothing to fear as far as this threat that white folks are trying to make with these guns and violence, because the day that we arm ourselves and become united, and then mean to bring security and peace to our communities. Ain't no white supremacists out here want to confront that type of situation.
That's right. Absolutely.
So again,
that's right.
These folks with all this violent talk and blah 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 blah, we can take care of that. But it's these white legislators. Mm-hmm. The lawmakers, the Justice Department, the police departments, these are the ones that we got. So the only way we need to take care of them is, like I said, make certain that there's not another Virginia and the election that we saw going on today. And that election that we saw going on today, that just went down,
right,
is no more than an example is no more than an example of it's what will continue to come.
Right.
Until we start doing something, until not just something, until we start taking control of our communities, first of all, bringing unity in your communities, and then being about, once you get the unity going in your communities, you'll be able to secure your community. Right now, as long as you're bickering and fighting and all the stuff that is going on, it's frightening. Now, it is frightening because most African Americans are standing alone, especially our females. You know, not only are they afraid of white supremacists, but our females are afraid of our own males. Our females are scared of them because of the violence and the stupidity that they're causing in the community. So a lot of work out here to be done. But like I said, those but it can be cleaned up. It can be cleaned up. Next week we're going to have our veterans on our show. Well, we'll be doing, and anyone who is listening, you let your veterans know that they will be called to come on and discuss. It's a salute to our veterans, honoring our veterans.
Yeah.
But at the same time as a veteran, I need to ask our veterans, what is our duties? We knew our duties as far as when we was deployed. But I'm saying, does those duties stop by going and securing other people's security? Or do they continue by coming home and making certain that our communities are also secure? And our veterans are the ones who have been trained, and it's easy for us to train the young folks in our community to bring about the unity of keeping our community safe as to where our communities, especially our females, don't have to fear the males in the community. I think that's a sad situation, is there are so many females just do not trust having males around their families because of the violence and the fear that they have of the males in their own communities. So Brother Aziz, New Africa Business Association, like I said, this is a station, and it's open for communications, and I can inform you of this situation in my hometown, and you can inform me of what's going on in your hometown. And like I said, by bringing on the correct unity, we can correct whatever we need to correct in our home and in our communities.
Definitely.
Brother Hersley, we've got a couple of minutes before we'll be closing out here. I'm going to let you do a few minutes of the closing out, and then your closing, please tell everybody how they can contact us and become members and what have you. Brother Hersley.
All right, Brother Bilal, thank you. And for our participants and listeners out there, whether on the internet or over the air, this is New Africa Business Association of Washington, D.C. And we are on every Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have two parts of our program, from 7 to 8, and then from 8 to 9. And you can call us and tune in to our program by dialing 657-383-1372. That's 657-383-1372. Or you can contact us at newafricabusinessassociation.com and that's our website. To send us any suggestions or comments, you can send it to our Gmail site at nabassc@gmail.com. And that's nabassc@gmail.com. Or newafricaba@gmail.com. Our business contact information is area code 301-234-9090 or area code 202-903-7278. And we look forward to talking with you next week, especially the veterans. Thank you,
all
Brother
right,
Bilal.
Thank you, Brother Aziz. And like I said, until next week, this is the New African Legislation saying good night. And we look forward to our next week's program. Good evening.
Good evening. Now.
Extremists don't complain. We keep reaching out for passion. No matter what the pain, we're not looked into your eyes. It all fell into place. Now when I was searching, shining in your face. In my time, giving up so much, through each high and low, I let my heart be touched. In my time, giving much I wish, seen them come and go, but heaven knows I've never loved like this in my time. After all that I'm in love with you. In my time, heaven loves like through each high and low, I let my heart be touched. In my time, with the much I think, I see the time to go. But heaven knows, I've never loved like this in my time. After all that, I'm in love with you. Mm-hmm.